Bardet-Biedl syndrome. According to the European Orphan Drug Regulation, this is one of over 6,000 rare diseases. Between 27 and 36 million people in the European Union are affected by one or other rare disease. In the UK, 1 out of 17 people suffer from a rare disease. So, why shouldn't we be interested in knowing something more about such conditions? I mean, only because they are defined as rare? Consider it as a group, they are not so rare. If these diseases were defined instead as not too common, but be careful, because one of your 17 cousins probably have it, maybe we would pay more attention to what is going on in this field. Philip Bale is professor of medical and molecular genetics at the Institute of Child Health, UCL, in London. Professor Bales has been studying for more than 10 years one of those rare diseases, the Bardet-Biedl syndrome. So let's speak about this. Why did you choose, or better, why this kind of syndrome?
It was really serendipity, really. I was becoming interested in common disease genetics, but one has to remember this was in the early to mid 1990s, when I was a junior doctor, and I was called to see a patient there who was in a diabetic coma. It was evident to me that he had a rare condition. I had a look through my lecture notes, and sure enough, this patient had this rare disease called Bardet-Biedl syndrome. And at that time, I realized, well, maybe by studying a disorder which is encoded by a single gene fault, as opposed to common diseases which have many genes involved, that will simplify the research, and eventually, by understanding causes, should I say, of the obesity and the diabetes, this will help inform the common type that is much more prevalent in the general population.
Bardet-Biedl syndrome is rare because both parents must be carriers of the gene mutation which caused the disease.
Bardet-Biedl syndrome is a genetically inherited disease, and it comprises many debilitating problems, and they include loss of vision, obesity, and it's associated with many other problems such as high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol problems, and these kind of things. Extra fingers or extra toes, that might be the only thing that one sees at birth. A lot of these children have global delay and will develop kidney failure.
And what about your previous research in this field? I mean, how your discoveries could find an application from a therapeutical point of view?
Okay, so we discovered some years ago now that there was a basic underlying defect in the cell. So most cells in the body have an appendage sticking out of the top of them called a cilium, and it is the cilium that is important for the cell to understand what is going on around it. So it acts like an antenna for the cell. In Bardet-Biedl syndrome, this cilium is not detecting the environment correctly or in an optimal fashion, and therefore the cell cannot respond appropriately to those different stimulations.
And your current research, what are you trying to do now?
As part of our current research, it's quite wide-ranging. We start at the beginning, we still look for further genes that cause this rather large group of disorders where we think there's over 100 different conditions. And beyond gene identification, which gives us an insight into what might actually be going on, medically speaking, as well as biologically speaking. So the next step then is to define what the genes that are faulty actually do within the cell or don't do within the cell. And then finally, therapy. And so we're doing a lot of work currently towards drug therapy, finding drugs that may try to repair or at least improve the function of the cilium in these diseases.
And what about phones? Is there some problem being a rare disease and finding funds. Yeah.
There's always a problem, especially in the current climate, of finding funds, and particularly for rare diseases. That has always been a challenge, although there has been a recent change, I would say, in the outlook of the funding environment, in the sense that we're moving away more from some of the common disease genetics research funding to the realization that rare diseases actually collectively are very common. So in this country, one in 17 people have a rare disease, which is in total almost 4 million people. So if you look at it in those terms, it's actually economically very, very important group of people. So therefore, it is important that the funding bodies, and we know that in this country, the Medical Research Council, the Wellcome Trust, and then further afield, the EU Framework Programme 7, for example, already have funding streams for rare diseases. So things are improving for rare diseases.
And does the state, the government, provide some help to families who are affected by this kind of problem?
The state does in this country in a very good way. I mean, obviously there is the level of support on a daily basis in terms of disability living allowances and facilities that are available for people with disability who are blind, for example. We have charitable bodies such as the Royal National Institute for the Blind. There are people who will teach patients who with this disease how to handle a life without vision. So mobility training, keyboard skills, these kind of things, braille, and so forth. But in terms of delivering a medical service, we have now been running a multidisciplinary service for the last 1.5 years, and that's funded through the National Health Service. So they have provided us with funds to assemble clinics in 4 different hospitals in the UK, 2 in Birmingham, 2 in London, and we assemble between 6 and 7 clinicians on the same day so that it's a one-stop shop. One patient I saw recently was visiting 5 different hospitals in a 100-mile radius of his home. What our service manages to do is to bring all the specialists together on the one day so they only have to make the one visit. So, yes, there are a lot of services available, but they can always be improved.
What advices would you like to give to who in this moment have a child with this pathology?
Well, do not give up hope. That's the main thing. There is a lot of research that is going on in this area in many different countries at the moment. It's becoming quite popular from a research perspective, but also the realization that we can actually potentially reverse some of these defects, cellular defects, in some kind of relevant animal model.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, Professor Bale. Hoping to have provided interesting information to our audience. See you the next.